Today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Gimel. Today we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Becharos. Today's shir is sponsored by Morris Javaheri, Lezecher Nishmas Daniel Ben Hillel Alav Hashalom, and by Dr. Landerer again, Lezechus, his wife and his children. And we thank both sponsors very much again for their sponsorship. So we are holding at the beginning of the parak on daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and this parak is going to transition from Mumin that would passel a bechar, or that would be machshir bechar actually to it would passel it as a carbon and allow you to shecht it outside of the mikdash, to Mumin of an adam that would passel a kohen from doing the avodah. So the Mishnah is going to discuss how Mumin that passel of which Mumin passel a person from avodah. The Gemara is going to talk about the source for the idea that Mumay adam and Mumay behema are connected with each other, and why we apply, how we know to apply all the Mumay behema to Adam as well, and also why the Torah needs two separate lists of Mumin. Why not just make a list in one place? And the Gezer Shavu would teach us that all those Mumin apply to the other place. The Gemara is also going to talk about why the Torah has to list the halachas of Mumin by Bechor, by other Kachim, and by Adam. Why can't I learn one from the other or one from the other two? So then at the bottom of the page, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to discuss how we know that the list of Mumei Adam is more expansive than the list of Mumei Behema, and the differences between La Halacha, between the three categories of Mumei Adam. We're going to see that there are three separate categories of Mumei Adam. The Gemara is going to then describe on Amud Beis exactly what the Mishnah is referring to when it lists the various Mumei Adam, what each one looks like, and then the Gemara is going to have three explanations of what Rabbi Yochanan comes to teach when he gives us a list of Mumin that seem to just be a repeat, or some of them at least seem to just repeat what we already know from the Mishnah. So what's Rabbi Yochanan adding beyond what the Mishnah says? Then we're going to have another Mishnah that define the mum called a Gibein, and another Mishnah that defines various Mumin relating to the eyes, relating to a person's eyes. So let's begin at the beginning of the parak. So we're about to list a number of Mumin that you find. So Mumin Elu Bein Kavun Bein Ovrin Posen Badam. Before we list any new Mumin, we should mention, says the Mishnah, that all of the Mumin we've listed until this point that apply to a behema, whether they're Kavua or whether they are Over, even if they are going to be to be healed, nevertheless they pass a Kohen. As long as he has these Mumin, he's not allowed to do Avodah in the Mikdash. What we're going to find is that by Mumay Adam there are three types, there are three categories of Mumin. There are those Mumin that pass a Kohen from doing the avodah in the Mikdash, and also pasul a behema for being brought as a carbon. There are Mumin that pasul a person, but do not pasul a behema for being brought as a carbon. And then there are Mumin that really, really don't even pasul a person, but mishum maris ha'ayin, we don't allow the person to do the avodah, but it's purely a maris ha'ayin issue, it's not a technical issue. And we're going to see in the Gemara, as the Rambam outlines in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, but the Gemara is going to say pretty explicitly that each of these levels have their own level of chumrah associated with them. Level one, a kohen that has a mum that passels by Adam and Behema, and then he does avoda, whether he does it b'shogeg or b'mezid, the avoda is going to be passel, and if he did it b'mezid, he's chayv malchus as well. A kohen who has a mum in category two that would only passel by Adam but would not passel by Behema, and he does avoda, even though if he did it b'mezid, he gets malchus and he violates a losasei, but it's not mechallel the avoda. And then category three, if it's something that's only mishamaris ayin, he doesn't even get malchus, and also the avoda is going to be kosher. So we're going to see those three categories. So first off, we say all the mum we've listed until this point, they whether they're a kavua or over, they passel a person from doing the avoda. The yeser aleihen, but by Adam there are more items on the list. There are more mumin on the list, and they are hakilon, vahalafton, vahamakovan, visharosh shakut uskifas. All of these are mumin that the Gemara is going to identify exactly what they mean. These are mumin that only apply to an Adam, do not apply to a behema. Ubali chataros, when it comes to people who have a hunchback, and the Gemara is going to explain, a hunchback but not with an actual bone in the hunchback, I mean, but it's just an extra flesh on their back that makes it look like they have this extra piece on their back. So Rabbi Yehuda machshav v'cham pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says that's going to still be kosher. The Cham say it's pasul. If there's a bone in there, then it would be pasul according to everybody. Hakireach pasul. A bald person is pasul to do the avodah. Okay, ezu kireach. How do we define what's called bald? Kol she'ein lo shita shel se'ar mukefes me'ozen la'ozen. If he doesn't have hair that goes around from one ear to the other ear, meaning at least in the back of his head. But in Yeshla, reza kosher. Otherwise, we just call that normal male pattern baldness. I mean, when we're describing movement, we're describing something that's unusual, that's considered to be problematic. But a person who just has hair on the sides and the back of his head and not on the top of his head, that is not considered a mum at all. I saw an interesting discussion of Zilberstein has in Chashuki Chemed in the first piece in this perek. He discusses a case where a Magid Shir of a Daf Yomi had a dilemma. He got to this Mishnah and he had to describe the various movement, and he could run right through it. But the problem was, if he describes in detail all the movement that the Mishnah is describing, there was a member of the Shir who had a physical deformity that seemed to be aligned with one of these movement, and everyone's just going to look at the guy. It's going to be embarrassing as he's saying the Shir. So what should he do? Should he not explain the Mishnah? Should he make something up? Should he explain it in some different way? Or should he say it like it is? And no, the guy will be embarrassed. You know, he's sort of Zilberstein points out, you're definitely not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to change the pshat in the Mishnah in order to, I remember teaching in high school sometimes, there were certain words that would come up in the Gemara that if you pronounce them correctly, a kid would make fun of it. It sounds like a curse word in English, or it sounds like whatever, a kid would make fun of it. So one of the Rebbeim Yeshiva told me that he dafka mispronounced those words. Okay, it's a mispronunciation. We probably mispronounce half the words in the Gemara anyway. So that's a mispronunciation. But to change the perish of the that you can't do. How do I know you can't do that? Because Gemara Masechet Baba Kama and Daflam Ches brings a brisa that when the Sradiotim came to learn Torah by the Chachmei Yisrael, they got to the din that a Shor Shal Yisrael, Shenogach Shor Shal Akum, is going to be Potter. But if a Shor Shal Akum is Nogach Shor Shal Yisrael, it's Chayiv Nezek Shalem, that's how unfair it is. If we damage them, we're Potter, their Shor damages our Shor, they're going to be Chayiv, and they were not Mishanah the din, and the Yamshul Shlomo writes that we see from that brisa that you're not allowed to be Mishana Divrei Torah, and you have to be Moser Atzmo Aleha. You can't imagine how uncomfortable that must have been to try to explain that to a non-Jew, and why weren't they Choshesh for pogroms or whatever is going to come out of that, especially in a Malchus HaRisho that was just trying to come up with blood libels against us and all sorts of terrible things against us. So you would think that they should have taught either that Shneim Chayavim or Shneim Peturim, but you see that you have to be Moser Al Kiddush Hashem not to change a single word of Torah Hashem Tamima of the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us through Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not allowed to change even a single word of it. Okay, so maybe over here we're not talking about being Mishana Adin, but maybe to not reveal, just say a little less and not explain the Mishnah. So in the Reishis Chachma, he says that a person has to be very, in Shara Kedusha, a person has to be very careful not to embarrass another person, and if he's sitting next to a person that has a mum begufo, that who's embarrassed from that mum, or has a mum bekrovav b'mishpachto, so you shouldn't speak about that mum in front of that person. And in general, a person should be sensitive to the situations of people around him. A person shouldn't always be talking about his diet with people who struggle with weight. A person shouldn't always be, right, try to be careful about different struggles that people are going through and not to bring attention to it. And that, Mishra Berurah says, you have a similar idea. Mishra Berurah, Simon Kuf Lamed Ches, writes that Yizara Chazin, that the Chazin meaning the Gabbai, should be careful when he gives the Aliyos, that he shouldn't give the Aliyos of the Iver or Piseach to an Iver or Piseach, meaning the Aliyah that goes through the various movements to someone who suffers from one of those movements, or to give the Parsha of Arayos to someone who is Chashur al Arayos. You try to avoid having them read that Aliyah. Now, in that case, it's not exactly the same, because the Aliyah is going to be read anyway, meaning whether they give that guy the Aliyah or someone else, the Aliyah is going to be read. Over here, no one's going to be no one's going to explain the Mishnah otherwise. So Rabbi Kiveger in his Perush HaMishnayos on Peya writes that there was a get in Kilas Kedosha Lisa where there were two guys that had the same name, and their father's name was the same, and the grandfather's name was the same. So how do you make a simon that it's this guy giving the get? So they wrote Hapiseach, because he was Chiger Beregel Echad. So they wrote Hapiseach, and in order that it shouldn't look like his name was Pesach, they wrote Hapiseach with a hey to make it, and they didn't want to write Chiger, because Chiger is sometimes with the Yud, sometimes without the Yud. We're very careful when it comes to spelling and again. So how could they write such a thing? So it could be that the guy wasn't embarrassed because it was private. It's a get. He doesn't go around town showing his get off to other people. So maybe it was a more private type of thing. Or it could be that when you don't have a choice, and that's what you have to draw attention somehow. So that's how you draw attention to it. Rabbi Zilberstein then says he's not sure that a person should be embarrassed when we learn the mumin, even though that person has that mum. He says a person should realize that this is how Kadosh Baruch Hu made him, and this is how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him, and gam hamum shebo hu meito yizbarach hu mishpatei Hashem eves, and therefore you don't have to be choshesh for embarrassment. That's a little bit difficult. I mean, you could explain to someone why he shouldn't be embarrassed, but embarrassment is not an explanation, it's a feeling, right? It reminds me of Ramesh's tshuva about whether if you're going to be embarrassed when a woman is a nida, that you're going to observe all the harchakos, and everyone's going to realize that she's a nida. You're not going to pass from one to the other. Everyone's going to realize why they're not passing, and she's going to feel embarrassed. So Ramesh writes, I don't understand why you'd feel embarrassed. Well, because you're a young person who's a healthy young woman who becomes a nida. Healthy young women become a nida. You shouldn't be embarrassed to be healthy. What, you're embarrassed that you observe the halacha? I hope you're not embarrassed that you observe the halacha. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. So one could argue, yeah, but you could explain to a woman why she ought not be embarrassed, but she feels embarrassed. La halacha, obviously, we accept Rav Meshach's psak. There's no questions Rav Meshach's psak on that. But just the svara, the way to approach it, that's what Zilberstein says, a similar svara. Maybe the person shouldn't be embarrassed. So if they shouldn't be embarrassed, it's not your problem. You just got to learn the Mishnah, and you have to explain the Mishnah. Okay, whatever. So the Mishnah has all of these mumen that apply by Adam. So frankly, Gemara, my, why does the Mishnah say all these mumen that we said in the previous parak? Pasul by a Kohen as well. Vayikab Yabelas Talok Sivba Raisaba Adam by Behema. There's a mum called Yabelas that it doesn't say in the Torah by Adam. It only says by Behema. Visu, and furthermore, there's another discrepancy in the list. Dak Tavlul, which are not mum that pasul by a Behema, Talok Sivi Behema, that doesn't say by Behema, but it does say it by Adam. So you see that apparently they're not the same. Says Mar, yeah, but Milfi. We learn the dinim of mum Adam and behema one from the other. So any mum that it says by Adam, even if it doesn't say by behema, is going to passel by behema. Mum that it says by behema, even if it doesn't say by Adam, is going to passel by Adam. And that's why the Mishnah says all mum behema passel by a kohen as well. And even yabelas that it doesn't say in the Torah by the mum of a kohen is still going to apply to a kohen. Ditanya, so the Gemara brings a brisa how we see that we learn dinei mumei Adam and behema from each other. But Adam lo nemar bo yabeles. By Adam it doesn't say yabeles. By behema lo nemar dak tavlul. By behema it doesn't say dak and tavlul and tivalul. Minayin litein es ha'amr shal zeh b'zeh ves ha'amr shal zeh b'zeh. How do I know to apply the movement of Adam to behema and behema to Adam? Tamalomar gerev gerev yalefes yalefes l'gzereshava. Because there is a lot of crossover on the two lists, meaning by behema it says by both Gerev and Yalefes, and by Adam it says both Gerev and Yalefes, and therefore we see that creates a Gzeira Shava, that we learn all of the halachas of one list to the other. Says Gemara Mifni, the Gzeira Shava that we just mentioned is what we call a Gzeira Shava Mufna. It is an open Gzeira Shava, meaning that sometimes we make a Gzeira Shava where each of the words that are being used in the Gzeira Shava is already used for some other drasha. If that's the case, it's a weaker kind of Gzeira Shava, and if we have a Svara to be Mechalik between the two Parshios, that will destroy the Gzeira Shava. But sometimes we have a Gzeira Shava where the words are not otherwise being utilized. So if the words are not otherwise being utilized, that's what we call a Gzeira Shava Mufna, and such a Gzeira Shava is rock solid. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to destroy the Gzeira Shava. So says Gemara, this is a stronger kind of Gzeira Shava. Tilo Mifni, because if these words are not Mufna, I could have easily made a Svara to be mechalik between mumei adam and mumei behema. How so? Ika lemifrach, adami behema lo yalif. I shouldn't be able to learn dinim of adam from dinim mumei behema, shekeni atma krevel gabi mizbeach. Because I would say, yeah, you know why those things possible, you know why there are more things that possible by a behema? Because the behema itself is going to be brought as the korban on the mizbeach. So such mumen are much more impactful than by adam, who's not going to be brought as a korban. And behema me adam lo yalfa, and I would not be able to learn the dinim of mumei adam, of mumei behema from mumei adam, because I would say that mumei adam are more adam is more sensitive to mumin shekein esrabe b'mitzvos, because an adam is chayiv in more mitzvos, in all mitzvos, and dafka by adam maybe a mum would pasul, as opposed to behema is not chayiv in mitzvos, maybe there would be no psul of a mum when it comes to behema. What exactly that svara means, that an adam is in esrabe b'mitzvos, Reishis Bikurim explains based on the sugya maseches Yuma daf Lamed Beis, where the Gemara says that the Big Day Lavan have a maila over the Big Day Zahav in that of the Kohen Gadol, in that the Big Day Lavan is nichnas lefnai v'lefnim with the Big Day Lavan, and nevertheless the Big Day Zahav, the Big Day Zahav that the Kohen Gadol wears throughout the year, has a maila on the Big Day Lavan that he wears only on Yom Kippurim, because the Big Day Zahav are kaparasa meruba, because he achieves kapara with them throughout the entire year. So says the Reish Bikurim, a similar idea in our sugya, that a person is his rabba b'mitzvah sakarbanos, he's mischaper with all karbanos. All karbanos are shayich to people, as opposed to behema, even though it itself is the karban, but it's not shayich to other karbanos. It's only shayich to the kind of karban that it is. That's what it means, nisrabba b'mitzvah, why we wouldn't be able to learn mumei behema from mumei adam. So says Gemara, lie, afni afni. You're right, it's 100% true. These psukim are wide open to make this gzeirah shaveh, and therefore whatever kashas you can ask me svara are irrelevant. Licht of Rachmani Yalefes v'lo bai gerev, because after all, let the Torah just write Yalefes and it doesn't have to say gerev. V'ana amina, and I'll figure out. Umay Yalefes tolomi isavi muma, if Yalefes, which is not so disgusting, is nevertheless considered a mum, gerev dema is lo kolshkein. Gerev, which is more disgusting, all the more so, should be considered a mum. So gerev the kasa rachman alamali. So why does the Torah have to say gerev by mume kohanim and by mume behema? Why does it have to say it? Lafnuye. It must be that that's just to keep it open in order to make this this lima, in order to make this this gezer shava. So says Mar v'lichtavinu rachmana kulu b'chad. But still, the Torah could have written all of the mumim in one parsha. Pick whichever one, either the Mumei Adam Parsha or the Mumei Behema Parsha, v'gerev yalef eshachavach, and only, the only crossover between the two parshios should have been gerev yalef es, in order to create the gzeirah shava, and then v'lif l'me adadi, and then all of the rest of the movement on the list should have been derived one from the other. Says Gemara, Ahei lichtov rachmana. Okay, which of the two parshas do you want the Torah to write? The dine mumin, and then you're going to learn from the other one. Ikas of Adam, if the Torah would have only written all the mumin by the parsha mumei Adam, have been called the possible Adam, possible behema, I would say that only a mum that passes by an Adam would pass by a behema. But kalut v'chutin delasnu ba'adam. But certain mumin that don't apply to an adam, that aren't shayich to an adam, the a mum of the hooves and a mum of the jaw or the gums, which don't apply to an adam, because the obviously people don't have hooves, and even the jaw and the gums, the back teeth of an adam are not readily visible by behema. The back teeth are more readily visible, so those mumin are going to be more sensitive. So I would think that they shouldn't pass by a behema. So now I understand why it has to write all the moon by behema in order to list kalut and charutz, which includes the those issues that are not shaykh by an adam. So why don't we just write them all the moon in the parsha of mume behema? Because you can't do that, because hava amina called the possible behema possible by adam, that only a mum that could pass by a behema would pass by an adam, but a gib bain v'charum, if you have someone who doesn't have eyebrows, if you assume that's what gibein means, we're going to have a whole Mishnah about what exactly Gibe means. Or a Charum, someone whose nose is not bolet between his two eyes, that it's, you can go from one eye to the other without hitting any speed bump along the way from a nose getting in the way. Delesnu b'behema, those are movement that are not shaykh by behema. A behema's nose is not between its eyes. A behema doesn't have eyebrows. So b'adam nami lo lifsulu, I would think they don't pass by an adam either. So now I understand why it has to write the movement by an adam as well, in order to list the movement of gibein and charum. So you can't ask why doesn't it say all of the movement in one parsha and learn one from the other. In either parsha, it wouldn't be enough. So says Mar, okay, but it still doesn't explain why we need the complete lists that we have in both parshios. V'lichtav Rachmanu kulu b'chad. Still, let the Torah write all of the movement in one of the parshios, write them all, let's say, by Mumei Adam, v'hanach t'lesnu b'idach, and the movement that are not shaykh ba'adam, you could write in the other parshia, like Kalut and Chut and Shnifkumu, lichtav Rachmanu b'behema, let the Torah write in the parsha of Mumei Behema, or write all the movement in the parsha of Mumei Behema, v'hanach t'lesnu b'idach, and the movement that are not shaykh by Behema, Gibein v'charum, good, so you write that one in the parsha of Mumei Adam. V'lichto ba'adam, and you should write in the parsha of Mumei Adam, v'ger v'alefes hachav hacha, and put ger v'alefes in both parshios, meaning put the behema, the ones that are unique to behema in the parsha of behema, the ones that are unique to Adam in the parsha of Adam, ger v'alefes in both parshios, in order to link the two parshios, and then all of the rest should only be in one parsha and not the other, and I'll already know to apply from one to the other. So Ella Ketan de Rabbi Shmuel. So the reason the Torah writes all of the movement by Adam and all the movement by Behema is to tell us, like the Ketan de Rabbi Shmuel taught us. The Ketan de Rabbi Shmuel called Parsha Shnemar V'Nishneis. Anytime you have in the Torah a parsha that's said once and then is repeated a second time, Lo Nishneis El Bishvil Davar Shenis Chadish Ba. It's always repeated for the Chiddush that is introduced the second time around. So when the Torah writes Mumei Behema to Mechadish, the movement of Kalut V'Chutin, it also writes the movement that were already mentioned, meaning that is the style of the Torah, and we don't ask questions like that. Why does it repeat? Why are there some items that are repeated from one list to the other? Maybe it's not needed, but that's the style of the Torah, that it will write the whole list again, even though there are only a couple of items on that list that are really necessary to write. In general, though, there are three parshios of movement in the Torah. By Adam, by Karbanos in general, and by Bechor. Why do I need three parshios to tell me that movement pasul? So I need three parshios. If I only would have had a parsha that a mum pasul's in Adam, I would say, yeah, mum pasul's in Adam, because he's nisrabah b'mitzvos. But a behema, whether it be kachim, whether it be Bechor, is not nisrabah b'mitzvos, so I would think it doesn't have a problem of movement. So Adam ibuchar behema lo asi. I'm not going to learn Adam from buchar behema shekenu atzma kar v'gabim mizbech, because buchar behema is itself brought on the mizbech. Kachim ibuchar lo asi. I can't learn the din of mum by kachim from the din of mum by buchar shekain kedushas merechem, because buchar has its own chumra in that it's kadosh merechem. It's born holy. Adam ibuchar lo asi. I can't learn Adam from kachim shekainan heinatzman craven, because kachim themselves are brought on the mizbech. Bechor me kachim lo asi. I can't learn bechor from other kachim shekain kedushas meruba, because other kachim have a more expansive type of kedusha. There are many different types of kedusha. There's chatos, hashamos, olos, shlamim. So it has to tell me psulei mumim by bechor behema, where it only has one type of kedusha. But chadmi chadal lo asya, tesi chadmi tarti. So we've just shown why I can't learn one parsha from the other, but there are three. Why doesn't the Torah just tell me the psulim of mumin by two of these parshios, and I'll learn one from the other two? So says Rabbi Mehe Tesi, which one do you want the Torah not to say and to derive from the other two? Lo lichtav rachmana b'bechor v'tesi mehanach. Perhaps you want the Torah to not mention mumin of a bechor and learn from the other two, from kachim and from Mume Adam, well, Malahanach Shekem Kedushas and Meruba, by Kachim and a Kohen, there may be a Mum will pass Dafka by them because they have so many different types of Kachim, the Nog and Bepshutin, and they apply to things that are not a Bechor, that are not a firstborn. Okay, so that wouldn't work. So Lo Lichta B'Kachim, maybe we shouldn't mention the Psulinim of Mumin by regular Kachim, V'Tesim Hanach, and I should learn from the combination of Adam and Bechor. No, I can't, because Malahanach Shekem Kedushas Me'alein, because both Adam and Bechar have an inherent kedusha, as opposed to kachim, where you need to be, you need to make it kadosh. Lo lichta ba'adam. So a third possibility: let it not say the psulim of mumin by an Adam v'tesi mehanach, and I'll be able to learn from the other two dinim, from kachim and Bechar. No, malahanach. What kachim and Bechar have in common is shkeinein atzman. Craven legabim mizbech. They themselves are brought in the mizbech. So tzrichi, that's why you have to tell me the psul of mumin in all three categories: by psule kohen la'avoda, by psule kachim the mizbech, and by psul of bechor that's mafkia kedusha. So in all three categories, I need to be told that that the din of a mum applies. Yes, Alein Ba'adam. Then the Mishnah went on to say that in addition to all of the mumin that we've listed until this point in the Masechta about Becharos, there are more mumin that apply to Adam. So Minan Emili, how do I know that the Chesronos that it says by Behema, that by Behema would not be considered a mum, would pass by Adam? Meaning that the list of Adam is more expansive than the list of mumin Behema. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Doma Krak, as the Pasuk says, Kol ish asher bo mum mizera Aaron. So we darshin ish shava bizarra shel Aaron, that only a Kohen that looks like all of the other Kohanim is able to do the avoda. But someone who's not doma lizarra shel Aaron, because he has something that's unusual about him, even though it's not a mum that would passel the avoda in the sense that it's not one of the mumim that we mentioned until this point, nevertheless, he's not allowed to do the avoda. So ma'i yikah bein muma l'sheinu shav bizarra shel Aaron. What's the difference between a real mum that's a full-fledged mum and that which just doesn't fit the criteria of shava bizarra shel Aaron? Yikah mishum achulei avoda. The nafkamina is whether it's going to be mechal liavoda. If it's just something that muma mechal avoda, if it's a real mum, it's mechal liavoda. Tchsiv mum bo velo yichalel. But sheinu shav bizarra shel Aaron lo mechal avoda. If the only issue is that it's not shav bizarra shel Aaron, then it's not going to be mechal liavoda. It's still going to be chayv malchus, but it's not going to be mechal liavoda. May ika ben sheinu shav bizarra shel Aaron mishmar sayin. What's the difference between the mum that would be possible on account of him not being shava bizarra shel Aaron, and that which is not really a mum, it's just maris ayin, it just doesn't look good, it looks like a mum, and therefore the chum master misha maris ayin, so yikah benayu asay. Now, if kamina between them is what Isser a Kohen who does the avoda with such a mum has violated, a Kohen that has a chisaron that's enu shava bizarra shel Aaron, he's in violation of an Isser asay, whereas a Kohen is only possible because of maris ayin, he's not in violation of an Isser asay. The Rambam writes in Hilchus Mamrim, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, that everything the Chacham say, Bein Advarim Shalomdu Osami Pi Hashmua, Bein Torah Shebal Peh, whether it's a part of Torah Shebal Peh, Ubein Advarim Shalomdu Mipi Daitam Bach Smir Mitzvah Torah Judgment, or whether it's something that's derived from the Yigam Mitzvah Torah Judgment, Vinir Beinim Shadar Zekachu, Ubein Advarim Shasom Siyog LaTorah LaFimasha Shatzricha, even things that are purely dinim derabanan, veina gzeros, vatakanos, vaminhagos, by all of these three categories, says the Rambam, whether it be halachal Moshe Sinai, yigdul mishadar judgment, dinim derabanan, mitzvas asei l'shmor alehen. We have a mitzvas asei d'oraisa to listen to them, va'over hakolech man, over below sasei. And if you violate any of them, you're in violation of a lo sasei. Because the pasuk says al pi haTorah asher yarucha, and that includes takanos gzeros minhagos, that includes everything. So the tziyunim l'Torah raises the question on the Rambam from our sugya, that how do we define the difference between a mum that passes b'kohanim because it's ainu shava bizarra shel Aaron, and a mum that's only a problem of maris ha'ayin? So the nafkamina is isser asay, that only a kohen that's ainu shava bizarra shel Aaron is in violation of an asay if he does the avoda, but if it's only a maris ha'ayin issue, he's not in violation of an asay. According to the Rambam, every Yisur Drabanan is a violation, really, of an Asei D'Oraisa, so Maris Ayin should also be included. It's also Vasis Alpi Hadavar Asher Yerucha V'chule. So it should at least be it should at least be an Yisur Asei. So it says it's even the Torah. You see from here, Maris Ha'ayin is different. That the Rambam listed Gzeros, Takanos. Maris Ha'ayin is not even a Gzeros Takanos. It just doesn't look good. So it's a lower level Din Drabanan than even Gzeros Takanos. Quite a chiddush that there are, we know that there are differences between Gzeros, Takanos, Malachos Drabanan. Right, there are all different categories of Isurim Drabanan. But Maris Ha'ayin is in its own category. That it's like this lower level category of Isurim Drabanan. That's how Tzionim LaTorah writes. Okay, so now says Gemara, let's identify what these Mumin look like. Kilon, we said, is one of the Mumin that passed by Adam. That means the Dami Resha La'achla. That is, head looked, is shaped like the top of a barrel, which is narrow at top and wide at the bottom. Lafta, what does that mean? The Dami Resha L'gadgalida Delifta. His head is like the top of a turnip, which is wide at the top and narrow at the bottom. Tanav Tzavaru Omed Be'emtza Rosho. And another detail of this Mum is that his head sticks out by his neck in the back the same way it does in the front. So normally a person's head is more toward the front of his body than it is toward the back of his body. But a person whose head is perfectly centered over his body between the back and the front, that's such a mum. Makavan, that's another mum we listen in the Mishnah. What does that mean? To dami reshe the makava. That is, head is the back of his neck is round and his head is very narrow, as opposed to most people's heads, which are a little bit wide and the neck sticks out a little bit in the back. Sharosha shakut milafanav. The Sharosha shakut means that it's slanted on an angle in front of him. Viskifas me'achodav. That means he's missing a piece of the back of his head. Kedamrienshi shakil pisa. Like they say, a piece is missing. Tana tzavaru shakut v'shamut. We looked in the Braisa, another mum the apostles of Kohen, because it would not be shav b'zar shel Aaron, is v'tzavaru shakut v'shamut. What does that mean? Shakut d'chavya machba. That his head is between his two shoulders, but it's as if his head is, it's like sunken in between his two shoulders. It's not like lifted up on his neck. And shamut, da'aruch v'shamut. That his neck is very long, more like a giraffe neck, that it's in an exaggerated way, it's lifted up above the rest of his body. Ubali Chataros, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, we said Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir Bali Chataros and the Chavim Pasel, that means like a hunchback. So this Peyatim Kolyam Lo Pligi De Pasla. As we mentioned before, if there's a bone in there, then everyone would agree that it's going to Pasel. Ki pligi de les be'etzem. The whole machlokas is if there's no bone, it's just a piece of flesh. So Mar Savar, the Chachamim, who passed the coin to do the Avodah, would say, Ha'en Hashav B'Zar Shalaron. I don't care if there's a bone in there or not. He doesn't look like the rest of the Kohanim, and therefore, he's not Shav B'Zar Shalaron. Umar Savar, Kerkura de Bisra Bialmahu. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, it's just a piece of flesh on his body. People's bodies are not all exactly the same. An extra bit of flesh over here or over there. A person's a little heavier than another person, so he's got a little extra flesh on his back. That's not going to be considered something that's Eino Shava Bizarro Shalaron. HaKireach Pasul, we then said that someone who's bald is Pasul, and Kireach means that he doesn't have a strip of hair that goes from one ear to the other. So Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela She'en Lo La'achrav V'yesh Lo Lefanav. Aval Yesh Lo La'achrav U'lefanav Kasher. If he has hair both in the front and the back, he's missing in the middle, that's going to be kosher. And if that's kosher, then certainly someone who has hair in the back but no hair in the front, that's for sure going to be kosher. The assumption is that it looks worse when a person has a bald spot in the middle but hair all around it than it does if a person has no hair in the front and only hair in the back. Not sure why, but that's the assumption the Gemara has. And some say this in connection to the Seifa of the Mishnah. We said if he does have, then it's going to be kosher. Amar Rav Lo Shanu. This idea that a kohen that has a little bit of hair is kosher lavoda is el shiyesh la'achrav. Means he has a little bit of hair in the back of his head, vein l'lefanav, but not in the front of his head. Aval yesh lo bein l'achrav bein l'lefanav, pasul. But now we're saying, but if he has hair in the back and the front of his his head, but not in the middle. He's pasul avoda. The kolshkein yesh alafana ve'en lo la'achrav de'en lo klal the pasul. And certainly, if he has hair only in the front and not in the back, or he has no hair whatsoever, that for sure is going to be pasul avoda. Am Rabbi Yochanan hakarchanan v'ananasim v'zavalganin psulin. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, there are three types of mumin that you should know that pasul. Bald people, dwarfs, and people whose eyes are constantly tearing. They're all pasul. And they're in that second category that don't apply to mume behema, right? So they're not going to be mechal the avoda, but they're in a shav bizar shalaron, so they're going to be chayv malchus if they do the avoda. So karchanin tanina and nanasin tanina. What's Rabbi Yochanan teaching me? Karchanin already said in the Mishnah, bald people. Nanasin, we're going to have a Mishnah in a couple of days in Daf Memeim and Beis that listen on Nasin. So the Gemara says, no. What Rabbi Yochanan is teaching me is the chiddush that a person whose eyes are constantly tearing, that's considered a mum. Mao detema mishamaris ayin. I would have thought, yes, he's not allowed to do the avoda, but that's only on account of maris ayin, that it's a category 3 mum, not a category 2 mum. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan has to tell me, that it fits with the other two, that it's a category 2 mum. It's not category 1. It's not something that would apply to a behema, but it's not just mishum maris ayin. Any mum that the psul is only mishum maris ayin, the Mishnah says beferish that it's only mishum maris ayin. We're going to see soon that in the Mishnah later on in the Samud, that was someone whose risei enav have fallen out. It says beferish that it's mishum maris ayin. So since you're going to say that by karachim and anasim, it doesn't say that it's mishum maris ayin, it seems that these are not maris ayin issues, that they're mamish puzzle. They're category 2, not category 3. So what's Rabbi Yochanan teaching me when he says something that's beferish in the Mishnah? So ma'ad teima tani chadavuad in lekulu. Now you might think that the Tana lists Bali Chatotros, where you have a machlokas, whether the chisaron makes them eno shav bizar shalaron, so you should learn that only the mumim that the Mishnah lists up until this point are considered a shinoi in the sense that they're not shav bizar shalaron. But all of the mumim that are listed in the Mishnayos from here on are not mumim that would pasul and are only category 3, are only marisa ayin mumim. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us that a kohen that has these three chisronos of karach and nanasim, it's a psul shein shav bizar shalaron, and if he does the avoda, he's over basay. But by every mum that it says in the Mishnayos, even in the coming Mishnayos, and the where the psul is mishum maris hayin, the Mishnah does say it. It says it explicitly tomorrow's daf. Vishenitlu shinov pasul mishum maris hayin. So don't tell me no. I would think that every mum from here on in, even when it's maris hayin, it's not going to mention it. No, it always does mention it. Ella rather says Gemara, what's Rabbi Yochanan telling me? La fuke me'od detanya. He's coming to tell me against the following brisa. Detanya hakarchanin vananasin vazavalganin ksherin lo amru pasul el mishum maris ha'ayin. That, and that's Rabbi Yochanan telling me that that's not true. That a pireach and nanas are pasul avoda because they're eno shav bizal shararon, not because of maris ha'ayin. Manai tana, whose shita is this brisa that says that karachim are kashal avodas, strictly speaking, kashal avoda, and it's only a maris hayin issue. Rabbi Yehuda, he detanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hakohanim l'rabos hakarchanim. That when it says hakohanim, it's l'rabos hakarchanim, that karchanim are in fact kashal avoda. Bald people are kasher to do the avoda. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein lo gvinin. If a person doesn't have eyebrows, o ein lo ela gavin echad, or he only has one eyebrow, zeu gabana amur v'tara. That's what the Torah was listing when it lists the mum of a gaban. Rabbi Dosa Omer, gavinin shochvin. If his eyebrows are so large that they go over his face, Rabbi, that's a gaban that the Torah lists. Rabbi Chanin ben Tigin Somer, sheyesh lo shnei gaban u'shtei shedros. No, gaban has nothing to do with eyebrows. It's a person's back. A person has two backs, two spines. That's the gabon that we were listing in the Torah, not about eyebrows. So the gabon de'in lo mashma. Wait a second. Do you mean tell me that the word gabon implies that he's missing something in his eyebrows, or because that's what we said? It's ein lo gabon echad or ein lo gavinin at all. That's a gabon. Is that really what it's about? Or aminu, I'll ask you, stira gabon sheish lo gavinin harbe. It means that he has connected eyebrows. He has a unibrow. Ein lo gavinin or ein lo ela gabon echad minayin. How do I know that even someone who's missing eyebrows? Tamil Omar, oh, Gabin. That's why they have the word oh. So Amar Rava, Rava says, since the Brisa Darshan's Gibein for someone who has Gavinin Harbe, and oh for someone who doesn't have Gavinin, Zel Medrash, oh, Gibein. We could explain that that's what the Mishnah means when it says Zel Gabin Amar B'Torah means that's the Drasha of Gabin Amar B'Torah. Meaning, the word Gabin implies that he's got too much in terms of eyebrows. But the Drasha of oh, Gibein tells us someone who has too little in terms of eyebrows. Rabbi Dosa Omer, that someone who has two backs, two spines, that's the gabon that's so bad in Torah. L'meimer d'chai, do you mean such a person can live? Two spines, he can live? But don't we have don't we know the halacha that a mapel is bria sheyesh lo shnei gabon shtei shedros? If a woman miscarries and it's a form that comes out with two backs or two spines, amarav bi'isha ein of vlad. By an isha, that's not considered a vlad. It's not even metame or tumas leida because that nafel was ein aroy l'skayim ever. And by behema, asur ba'achila. And by a behema, it's considered a nevela, and it's asur ba'achila because it can never possibly live, even if it comes out living, but it's a very, very short-term thing. So it cannot live. So how can you say that that would possibly come from doing the avodah? It would never even come up. So kvar raman de'alei rav simi barachia l'rav, v'armelei simi at ela b'shashidrasa akuma. So he said to him, you're simi that everyone says that you're a chacham gadol. Don't you know how to answer this kasha on your own? You're asking this as a kasha on me? No, we're talking about someone who has a bent over spine that therefore looks like it's two spines. That such a person can actually live. That's the mum that we're referring to when we say gabon. But if the person actually has two spines, then the person obviously is not going to be able to live. Okay, but we'll pick up with the last mission on the page tomorrow. Oh.